The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath, offering her a new beginning for her life. When challenged by a narrow reading of the Sabbath command, Jesus responds by expanding Sabbath work to include setting people free from bondage. I begin reading at verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our story from the Gospel lesson this morning is a story of healing, and it is also a story of scandal. Sometimes Jesus gets awfully scandalous in our Gospel readings. It's obvious the lady needed healing here in our story. She had been crippled for 18 years, just hunched over, bent back, and I know some of you have probably had some back issues at some point, or maybe continue to have back issues at some point, and it is very uncomfortable. It's painful, it hurts, and you can't move very well. This woman was confined because of her ailment, and you got to think about this. What this lady was missing in life, not only just all the movements and the activities that a healthy person can go about, but if you're stooped over like that, you can't even look up. You can't see the sky. You can't see the birds. You can't see the tall trees. You can't see mountains. You can't have conversations face to face with taller people. She was missing out. She was confined to her illness, to her disease, to that spirit that was within her that caused that pain and that anxiety within her. Jesus saw her in the crowd, and this is where the scandal starts. In the first place, she wasn't even supposed to be in there. If Jesus was teaching on the Sabbath in a synagogue, only men were allowed in that space. What's a woman doing in here? She's not supposed to be in here. And I guess what amazes me is, if this woman's all stooped over and this is full of men, how did Jesus even spot her? How could even Jesus see her in that crowd? But you know what? I think Jesus has the ability to do that. Jesus knows when we are hurting. Jesus knows when we need help. And Jesus comes to us and he calls us to come to him. And that's exactly what he did here in this story. All right? So here's the scandal. A woman is in the crowd in this place where no women are allowed. All right? And then the scandal starts to escalate when Jesus notices her. All right? Again, you know, if maybe the best thing to do is just ignore her. Maybe she'll go away. Maybe nobody else will notice. But instead, Jesus notices her and calls her to come to him. All right? So, and then not only that, the scandal continues to escalate when Jesus says to her, "You are set free from your ailment." And as he put his hands on her, and she straightened up and she began to praise God. There's also another person here in this story that needs healing, and that's the leader of the synagogue. And you can just see him in this situation. Here he is, the person in charge of the synagogue. He was probably the one who invited Jesus as a guest preacher to come and teach on that Sabbath day. So it's his responsibility for what goes on in there. And then there's a woman that appears. This isn't supposed to happen. And you could just see his face turn red. He's embarrassed. This isn't going to happen. Here we have a guest preacher and things are happening out of the ordinary. He's embarrassed. And he starts to turn red. But then he turns redder when Jesus recognizes the woman and calls her forward. And he gets upset. All right? Because he should have made sure that she left. You know, or if they ignored her, well, then maybe the problem would go away. But if Jesus, instead of calling her out, should have said, "Woman, what are you doing in here? This is a place for men. Leave." But Jesus didn't do that. He did just the opposite. He welcomed her in. And you could just see that synagogue leader just getting hotter and hotter as the scandal unfolded. His face turned beet red. He's working those jaw muscles. Maybe even see some steam coming out of his ears. But he's upset. And he's got to fix the problem. So what's he do? He starts to tell the people, "There's 6 days in the week where work is supposed to be done. Come on one of those days for your healing, but not on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for worship and rest. Come on one of those other days for healing." Why was he so upset? Well, here's what was going on. In the history of the Israelites, they had always been surrounded by alien people, many times enemies, people who were different from the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people were supposed to be the chosen people of God, the people separated or are separated for the purposes of God. And to separate them, to keep their identity then, they were to follow all the laws that Moses had given to, or God had given to them through Moses. And we know of the Ten Commandments. We know that story of Moses going up to the Mount Sinai and bringing the Ten Commandments down. But there's actually 613 laws in the Old Testament. And Jews were supposed to keep every single one of them, and that helped keep their identity of who they were. But what happened over the years is they forgot somewhat about God, and they started basically worshiping the laws. And so in order to protect those laws that were in the Scripture, they started to make new laws to protect those other laws, another layer wrapping around those laws. And so they came up with all sorts of things to define what these laws meant. For instance, the one dealing with the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. One of the laws that they had wrapped around that one was, is what is work? Try to define work. And so, for instance, you could untie your donkey and you could lead them to where the water was only if they weren't carrying a burden on their back. Only if they didn't have a load. Or you could go get draw water out of a well and bring it to the animal and pour it into a trough for them to drink, but you couldn't hold the bucket in front of them for them to drink out of. As far as healing went, on the Sabbath, it was okay if it was a life-threatening emergency. You could heal on the Sabbath and take care of that. If it was just simply for suffering, no. That would be considered work. And so here Jesus is breaking not God's commandment, not the laws even out of Scripture, but he is breaking those laws, those codes that have been created to protect those other laws. And this is what gets the people so upset and why it's so scandalous for Jesus to cure. If he's supposed to be the leader, if he's supposed to be the rabbi, then he should have taken care of it in the right way. And Jesus didn't do that in their eyes. And it was a scandal. I remember when I was in high school and junior high, I took care of the church grounds and the cemetery grounds, mowing grass and different things. And when I went off to college, then that passed on to someone else. But I came home one weekend from college, and I noticed that the church had purchased a new riding lawnmower. Actually, it was a tractor with a pretty nifty new type of mower attachment to it, and I had to check it out. So on that Sunday afternoon, after we had went to church and after we had our Sunday dinner, I got on the lawnmower and I mowed a small patch in the back area of the church property just to see how it worked. And as I was finishing it up, my uncle drove up and he wanted to visit with my dad for a little while. And so I put the lawnmower away and came up to where they were and to say hi. And my uncle said to me, "If your grandma could see you, she would have turned over in her grave." Again, they grew up in a generation, my dad and my uncle grew up in that generation and in the household where you did not do any kind of work on Sunday morning. It was that time when people would go to church on Sunday mornings, they would go to grandma's house for dinner, and then they would sit around and they would rest or visit, take a nap maybe even, and they would catch up on all the gossip of the family and the community. That's what the Sundays were for, is to do those things. And I imagine many of you can remember the time when we had blue laws, where there were certain stores that could not be open on Sundays, or certain products you could not buy on Sundays. And if a store was open that could sell things, and it also had things that they could not sell, they would rope off those aisles or tape them off. Or if you tried to buy one of those, the checkout person would say, "Nope, you can't buy that today." Today, and particularly in some of the more urban areas or suburban areas, if you go to one of the big shopping stores, one of the big box stores, or to the shopping malls, they're just jam-packed with people. Sunday's the day that people go shopping now. Sunday's that day where they catch up on all the errands that they have not been able to do during the week. Sunday becomes one of the other days just to catch up from all the busy work from all the rest of the week. When we find ourselves so caught up in life that we don't have time to observe the Sabbath, to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, then maybe it's time to reassess our lives and what's going on in our lives. There's a balance here somewhere. Jesus is fussed at for healing a woman, but at the same time, some people just let it go. Let it be just another day of the week. Sundays are a holy day. Every day in the week is a holy day, but Sundays are set aside to honor God, to worship God in a special way, to come together as a community to give thanks and praise and worship to God. And then also, too, a day to be renewed or be rejuvenated in our lives so that we can face the things that are going on during the week. As we come to worship on Sunday mornings, and it comes back to this story once again of what takes place in our worship. One is like this woman who had miraculous things happen in her life, and she's come back to worship. And she gives praise. She breaks out in praise and thanks for being cured from her disease for 18 years. And that's what worship is for, is to give that thanks and praise, not only for what God has done for our lives, but also what God has done in the lives of those around us, of how God continues to heal. And that's what worship is for, is for healing. On each Sunday morning, we do pray for other people. We pray a lot of times for those caught in bad situations or in situations that are dangerous, such as missionaries overseas or for military or for police officers or EMS workers, for those in service positions. We pray that God protects them and that God would heal them if they are injured in any way. We also pray just for everyone who has been sick or who has an illness, who has undergone surgery, people who are grieving. We come to pray for healing for people. And as we pray for healing of people, we are reminded of that power of God, that God does heal us. And now, if you've ever been on the receiving end of those prayers, where people, the congregation has been praying for you, and maybe not only the congregation, but maybe other congregations, maybe other churches in the community, maybe other people, maybe other relatives, people have been praying for you. What a wonderful feeling. What a healing feeling, just knowing that other people do care about you and are concerned about you. But then too, God does answer those prayers, and he does bring healing to us in that way. But even more important than the physical healing, we come to worship for spiritual healing, for the healing of our souls. I'm reminded of that Bible verse that says, "By his stripes we are healed." Every Sunday is a celebration of Easter. It's a celebration of that resurrection of Jesus Christ. We remember that story of Jesus going to the cross, of what he's been through for us. As we take the Lord's Supper, we remember, he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." It is because Christ himself was bound that we are set free. They took Jesus, they arrested him, they put him in shackles. They drug him around from place to place. They tied him down so that they could whip him. And then they tied him and nailed him to the cross. He was bound so that we can be set free. He did that for us. And we are set free. We are set free and we are healed. In this story today, Jesus tells that woman who was bent over and out of shape for 18 years, "You are set free. You are released of your disease." Jesus tells us the same thing. You are set free. You are forgiven. You are released and made whole once again. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.